Hey everybody, it is February the 11th, and this is Born on This Day.
It certainly is. I'm Marco Timpano.
And I'm certainly Amanda Barker, and today is National and International Clean Out Your Computer Day. Get it cleaned. You know you need to. You know you've got too much and that your storage is barely there. The next time you try to download something and it's going to tell you you don't have it.
Sure.
You've got files in there you don't need anymore, right, Marco?
Oh, I've just recently been fixing up my folders and making sure that they're all kind of organized. So it makes me feel really good.
And, you know, let it extend to your phone. My sister recently rainbowatized her apps. So she starts with white apps and goes all through the rainbow. So orange, yellow, that's how, so that she knows where to grab them, because you have usually a lot of pages on your phone for apps. So anyway, National Clean Out Your Computer Day is just your day to give your most used devices some tender, loving care.
TLC.
Not the band. It falls on the second Monday in February, the perfect time to get some real organizing done if you've already given up on your New Year's resolutions. And don't forget about cleaning your devices. You know, you want to clean the keys, do a nice little, get that screen cleaner so there's no gunk on it. You know what? We're all using our computers a lot.
You're right.
So get it clean.
Yep. Well, listen, if you were born on February 11th, your impulsive and charm defines you. I guess your impulsiveness and charm defines your personality. You have a wide variety of interests and hobbies, and that is a result of your spontaneous passions, Amanda. As a result of your innate charm, your impulsiveness has most likely led you to have a very passionate relationship or two.
Well, she's had a few, I think. Jennifer Aniston was born to Days of Our Lives star John Aniston and actress Nancy Dow. So it was definitely the family business.
Yes.
Entering the business with a few false starts on the television front in the short-lived series Malloy and Ferris Bueller, when it was a television series, remember? She played the sister, I believe, before a little show called Friends turned her into an international superstar. She won an Emmy and a Golden Globe through the show's 10-season run, and it propelled her to a successful film career in the movies Picture Perfect, Office Space, Rockstar, and then she kind of started finding some more interesting roles, like in The Good Girl, Along Came Polly. Okay, less interesting. Marley and Me, The Breakup. She shook up her good girl image in the Horrible Bosses comedies. Recently, she appeared in the films Office Christmas Party. Dumplin' is another one of those sort of departure films for her, I think, and Murder Mystery. And then in 2019, she received the Golden Globe and Emmy nominations. Oh, she got the Golden Globe, yes. And she got some Emmy nominations, too, for her starring role on Apple TV's very first original series and my favorite show of all of last year, The Morning Show.
She's so great in it.
She is so wonderful.
And I'm not a fan of Reese Witherspoon, but I liked her in that, too.
She's very good in it. Yep. Everybody is. Steve Carell is fantastic.
Martin Short
has a wonderful sort of, not a cameo, but a smaller role. But
a turn, if you will.
So good in it.
Yeah.
Mark Duplass, who's one of the leads in it, is so fantastic.
Yeah.
It really was my favorite show that I've seen in a long time. Anyway, she was born on this day in Sherman Oaks, California in 1969.
I think she had a small role in Leprechaun 3.
She did.
And then when she became famous, her picture's like, whenever you look at Leprechaun 3, it's like her picture kind of looking a little bit scary.
And it was pre-nose job, too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of pre-nose jobs, Taylor Lautner broke into his moment of stardom when he starred as Jacob in the Twilight series of films. Was he the werewolf or the vampire?
He was the werewolf.
Okay. Yeah. Through the first 2008 movie came, though the first movie came out in 2008, rather, years after he appeared on The Bernie Mac Show and in the films The Adventures of Shark Boy and Lava Girl and Cheaper by the Dozen 2. He followed his success with the films Abduction, Valentine's Day, The Ridiculous Six, and the shows Scream Queens and Cuckoo. He was born on this day in Grand Rapids, Michigan in 1992.
So he was in Valentine's Day, and our dear friend Daniel Krolik and I used to play a little game whenever we looked at the Valentine's Day poster. We were working together, and the Valentine's Day poster was everywhere. It was you know, on the subway. And so I remember being on the subway and we played the game of who hooks up with who. And we decided that Taylor Lautner hooks up with Queen Latifah.
Thank goodness.
It was like Queen Latifah and the werewolf.
Queen Latifah is going to be in the television remake of The Equalizer. Mm-hmm. And I cannot wait.
Let's just keep talking about Queen Latifah in honor of Taylor Lautner.
I love Queen Latifah. I love Queen Latifah. There's just something about her that I find very sincere.
Well, Corianka Kilcher shot to stardom with her first lead role playing Pocahontas in the 2005 Terrence Malick film The New World. She followed it with the role of Carrie Ann on Sons of Anarchy, appeared in the miniseries Neverland and the films Hostiles, Dora and the Lost City of Gold, Color Out of Space, and the Netflix series The Alienist, Angels of Darkness. This past year, she appeared on Marco's favorite show, Yellowstone.
I will not watch that show. It just pisses me off when I see the trailers for it.
Well, she was born on this day in Schwegmatt, Germany in 1990.
Well, Blanche Devereaux once called Burt Reynolds the sexiest man in the movies. He began his career, I love that we're taking a quote from a fictional character from the Golden Girls. It makes me so happy. He began his career working on television in the late 50s, making appearances on Alfred Hitchcock Presents, Riverboat, and a regular stint on Gunsmoke before breaking into films in the late 60s with roles in Navajo Joe, Shark and Fuzz. And by the time he appeared in the 1972 Oscar nominee for Best Picture, Deliverance, he was a full-blown movie star and followed it with the films The Longest Yard, Seamus, Silent Movie, Gator, and the mega hit Smokey and the Bandit. In the 80s, he mixed television back with his movie roles, appearing on B.L. Stryker before scoring a hit with Evening Shade. Also, Cannonball Run. Do you remember those that series of films, Amanda?
Not to have watched it.
Okay, well, Evening Shade, he had won an Emmy and a Golden Globe. In 1997, he earned his first and only Oscar nomination for his career for Boogie Nights and followed it with the comedy The Crew and Driven with Sylvester Stallone. He made his last appearance in An Innocent Kiss in 2019, released a year after he died at the age of 82. He was born on this day in Lansing, Michigan in 1936. And Amanda, a couple of days ago, we mentioned that Joe Pesci lost the Oscar for The Irishman to which actor? You were looking at that.
Brad Pitt.
Oh, Brad Pitt. I don't think we mentioned it on that show.
Well, gosh, you're a real big fan if you're still listening days later. But I did look it up. But it just didn't match the flow of the show. But it was Brad Pitt.
For what? Brad Pitt for what?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Blanche Devereaux was shocked to find out that relative newcomer Damian Lewis, playing the lead role in the miniseries Band of Brothers, was actually British, despite the fact that his American accent really sucked and still does. That's Bill's opinion anyway. A graduate of Blanche Devereaux.
Are you sure it's not Blanche Devereaux's opinion? Because I think that Bill and her are one and the same on this actor. Oh, I love it.
A graduate of Eton who performed with the Royal Shakespeare Company, Lewis appeared in the Greek film Bride and the drama An Unfinished Life with Jennifer Lopez before having another huge television success with Homeland, for which he won a Golden Globe and an Emmy. What was happening there?
No, I was just, it's hard for me to look past the screen, so I was moving my head back and forth. Amanda thought I needed
We're punchy
some,
today. Yes. Well, anyway, he had a brief cameo as Steve McQueen in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's so crazy because I just learned about Steve McQueen's involvement with those murders. But anyway.
Right, right.
And what's funny is we were just talking about Brad Pitt winning for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But yeah, Steve McQueen, they were supposed to have dinner there that night, him and his wife, but they got in a fight and didn't end up going. Despite the fact that Steve McQueen was cool, starred in the thriller Our Kind of Traitor, in other words, Damian Lewis shouldn't, in Bill's opinion, should be playing Steve McQueen. He has a lot of opinions about Damian Lewis,
yes.
I guess. He was also in Our Kind of Traitor. He's currently on the series Billions. Is that still on? I don't know. That was still on.
Yeah, it's still on. We started watching it, right?
This is what Bill has written. He is married to the actually talented Helen McCrory. I was born on this day in London, England. My goodness.
Oh, I'm not a fan of this guy either. I agree with Bill. Just saw a picture of him.
All right.
Amanda, doesn't Candace Bergen have a sort of neat sort of tie-in to the
murders?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, she absolutely does. So Candace Bergen lived in that house. It was her house. I think she rented it. They rented it too, though. Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski rented it. But the person that rented it before was Candace Bergen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, while you're looking up... the actor that both me and
I just
Bill,
saw him.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, Tina Blackner's parents owned a candy shop in New York City, but she had ambitions to be an actress, changing her name to Tina Louise and becoming a successful Broadway actor in Little Abner in the 50s.
Remember you asked me what Little Abner was about?
Yeah, what and was
I said,
it about?
It was a comic book strip. Remember I told you?
Yeah.
It was, and you're like, I never heard of it. I'm like,
no,
well,
I knew
it was
the comic
the
strip, but I didn't know that there was a musical called Little Abner.
Yeah, Lil Abner.
Lil Abner, whatever. Well, Tina Louise made her film debut in God's Little Acre in 1958 and won a Golden Globe for Best Newcomer then for that, and then starred in Days of the Outlaw and The Hangman before taking on the role that she is still best known for and the only survivor left as movie star Ginger Grant on Gilligan's Island. She followed it with the films The Happy Ending, The Stepford Wives, and O.C. and Stiggs, who could forget that one, and appeared on episodes of Dallas, Fantasy Island, and The Love Boat. She created a healthcare company,
wow,
TLC, and recorded an album of standards called It's Time for Tina.
Oh, that might have to be someone's birthday present.
Yeah. And she only makes rare appearances now, focusing more of her time on painting. But was in a film in 2019 that shall be named Nameless. She was born on this day in New York City in 1934. She's the last survivor of Gilligan's Island.
I have to say this, though. In changing her name to Tina, I don't know if Louise was her middle name and she just dropped the blacker
right. And
went with Tina Louise. But I have to say she was the first of a trend that I find very annoying, which
oh,
is actresses dropping their last name and using their middle name as their last name.
Ooh.
I see it all the time in casting. It drives me nuts. I don't know why it drives me as nuts as it does, but Lea Michele is another one.
Right, right.
There's so many.
I didn't know she was Jewish. That's the thing that struck me.
Who, Lea Michele?
No, I knew she was. I mean, Tina Louise.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it's awesome. Yeah.
Did you know Leslie Nielsen was Jewish?
I don't think he is, but sure.
Well, Blanche Devereaux said he was best known for comedy in his later career thanks to his popularity in the Naked Gun films and the spoofs Spy Hard, Scary Movie 3, and Wrongfully Accused. But his career began as a dramatic actor on 50s television before breaking into films with the science fiction classic Forbidden Planet, the musical The Opposite of Sex, and the Debbie Reynolds film Tammy and the Bachelor. After studying at the Academy of Radio Arts in Toronto, which no longer exists. Well, it kind of does. He moved to New York and studied at the Neighborhood Playhouse and enjoyed a lengthy career on screens big and small. In the 80s, he appeared in the horror film Prom Night. He played a villain opposite Barbara Streisand in the drama Nuts.
I think she kills him in it.
Okay.
Yep. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Well,
but
the film is like, I don't know, 100 years old.
But it was actually his role in Airplane that I remember him as a young child, and probably everybody did, that cemented his fame as a master of spoofs and led to that film's directors hiring him for the first for the short-lived series Police Squad, then in the film adaptation retitled The Naked Gun. In 1992, he appeared on the conclusion of The Golden Girls. There
That's
you
right.
go.
See, I was wondering if you knew that you were making that connection.
Oh, as yes. the man that Dorothy marries.
That's right, who happens to be Blanche's uncle.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
His last film was in 2009, a year before his death at the age of 84. He was born on this day in Regina, Saskatchewan in 1926.
The three Lawrence brothers were all over the entertainment industry in the 90s, with middle brother Matthew best known for playing middle child Chris in the 1993 hit comedy Mrs. Doubtfire. Oh, that was one of the Lawrence brothers? He made his debut at the age of 4 on episodes of Dynasty before appearing on seasons of Give Me a Break, which starred his older brother Joey. After Mrs. Doubtfire, he joined his brother on a few episodes of Blossom, then starred on the show Brotherly Love, the films Strike and The Hot Chick. This past year, he has made he appeared in Money Plane and The Office Mix-Up. He was born on this day in Abington, Pennsylvania in 1980.
Middle child Chris. Oh, okay. I guess there's a baby in Mrs. Doubtfire. I was like, there's only two kids.
No, he's the middle child of the Lawrence brothers. So there's the Lawrence guy from Blossom. This is the middle child. And then they had a younger child.
With middle brother Matthew, best known for playing middle child Chris.
Oh, I guess he's the middle child in Mrs. Doubtfire.
I just thought there was only two kids in Mrs. Doubtfire, but I guess
there's
the girl,
there's this guy, and there's a baby. Oh, yeah, there's the baby. That's right.
Why I was like, well, there's no middle child.
Yeah, you're right, there's a baby.
But I thought the Lawrence brothers were black.
No, Joey Lawrence.
Oh.
The guy from Blossom.
I thought it was Martin
whatever.
Lawrence. I thought
no,
those
it's
were
not.
The Lawrence brothers. And they were all.
Martin Lawrence probably has brothers.
And they were all in Living Color, I thought.
No.
That's the Wayans brothers.
That's the Wayans brothers. And there are a lot of brothers there, too. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Do you want me to do the next one?
I was very confused.
Carrie Lowell was a fashion model who worked in campaigns for Calvin Klein and Ralph Lauren before getting into acting, appearing in the films Club Paradise and Down Twisted before appearing as a Bond girl in License to Kill, where she played airplane pilot Pam Bouvier. She took over Gina Davis's role in the television adaptation of A League of Their Own in 1993, had a small role in Leaving Las Vegas, and was a regular on Law & Order for 5 years as ADA Jamie Ross. Most recently, she was on an episode of the show Bull, though she rarely makes appearances these days. According to IMDb, she spends her leisure time skiing, windsurfing, rock climbing, and whitewater rafting. She's the mother of Mozart and the Juggle actress Hannah Dunn, and she was born on this day in Huntington, New York in 1961.
I think it's Hannah Dunn because I think she had a birthday and we went through this already.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Well, in any event, we celebrated her sister last week. This year, we note the birthday of the very glamorous Ava Gabor, the elder of the Gabor sisters.
The more talented, one could say.
Is what Blanche Devereaux said.
Yes, indeed.
Now, she's best known for her role as Lisa on both Green Acres and Petticoat Junction, as well as for voicing the character of Bianca in The Rescuers. She moved to the States in the 40s with her sister, Zsa Zsa. I think she moved first, though. That's what we said last week,
right,
for Zsa Zsa. She began acting in films, including Song of Surrender and The Last Time I Saw Paris, later appearing in the remake of My Man Godfrey and the Oscar-winning film Gigi. You've never seen it.
No, she was in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the 80s, she appeared on, of course, The Love Boat and episodes of Heart to Heart. You loved Heart to Heart. And Hotel, making her final appearance on an episode of Burke's Law in 1994, a year before her death at the age of 76. She was born on this day in Budapest, Hungary in 1919. They were always sort of talked about together with their husbands, right? Ava and Zsa Zsa. Zsa Zsa had more husbands, though.
Right. I don't know. Darling, I love you, but give me Park Avenue. She had a line of wigs. Sorry, she was I think she had like a huge wig line, if you will. It was either her or Zsa Zsa. While you're looking that up, I'm going to say Joseph L. Mankiewicz came to
Hollywood. Oh, she had five husbands, though.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Did she have a big wig company?
There's also Magda Gabor. No one talks about her.
The ugly sister. Joseph L. Mankiewicz came to Hollywood at the age of 20 to work alongside his successful older brother, screenwriter Herman J. Mankiewicz, writing on a series of silent movies before moving into the sound era with the Oscar-winning film Skippy and Manhattan Melodrama. You know that one?
Yes.
In 1946, he made his directorial debut with Dragonwyck, then a few years later accomplished the feat of winning Best Director and Best Screenplay 2 years in a row for A Letter to Three Wives and his masterpiece, All About Eve. Following that, he made Five Fingers, Julius Caesar, The Barefoot Contessa, Guys and Dolls, Suddenly Last Summer, and the notorious production of Cleopatra starring Elizabeth Taylor. He was nominated for a Best Director Oscar for his last film, the 1972 thriller Sleuth, starring Michael Caine and Laurence Olivier. He retired until his death in 1993 at the age of 83, and he was born on this day in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania in 1909.
So there is an Ava Gabor wig story. So
okay.
The wig, I believe it's called the Wig Company, mm-hmm. Was founded in 1960. They were the very first human hair woman's wig. Then they made a synthetic version with Monsanto. We'll leave that there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they opened Ava Gabor's wig boutiques in America.
Thank goodness.
So she opened 10 stores in Pennsylvania and Ohio. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So Gabor brand. So she made a brand within the wig company.
Yeah.
So Kim Stanley.
Yeah, that's right. Kim Stanley.
So Blanche Devereaux was inspired by Kim Stanley, who was inspired to pursue acting after seeing Katharine Hepburn perform in the Philadelphia Story on stage, first studying at the Pasadena Playhouse before moving to New York and studying under Lee Strasberg. After a number of off-Broadway appearances, her stage career blossomed, earning 2 Tony nominations for A Touch of the Poet by Eugene O'Neill and 1962's A Fair Country, flourishing on Broadway while reportedly turning down most film offers, including repeating the role she had created on stage. Wow. That's crazy to have turned down the film because she wanted. I mean, it's not crazy, but who knows? Anyway, she made a handful of appearances on the screen, however, including earning Oscar nominations for her brilliant role as a mentally unhinged psychic in Seance on a Wet Afternoon and as Frances Farmer's ambitious mother. Oh, she was. She was the mother. She was so good. We have to see that film. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Frances, the 1982 film, mm-hmm. Frances, with, of course, Jessica Lange playing Fanny Farmer. Her last film appearance was in the 1983 film The Right Stuff, and she died in 2001 at the age of 76. She was born on this day in Tula Rosa, New Mexico in 1925.
So, Amanda, I body checked this person out of a buffet line in Italy once, and
then
I hung out with her parents while we watched the dress performance. Yeah.
As you watched the what?
The dress rehearsal for the performance that they were doing on stage.
No, what did Blanche Devereaux say?
She loved this singer. Sheryl Crow's music incorporated elements of pop, rock, country, jazz, and blues. She recorded her first album in 1992, but found the end result too slick and overproduced, and her label agreed with her. And, it didn't deserve to be released. So you can still find copies of it on the web, but it was never officially released. But her official debut, Tuesday Night Music Club, was a major hit that earned 3 Grammy Awards, mm-hmm. including Record of the Year, and was the first of top 10 albums she released so far. Her hits include All I Want to Do, Strong Enough, If It Makes You Happy, My Favorite Mistake, and Soak Up the Sun.
Soak
Up the Sun. Oh, yeah, Soak Up the Sun. In 1997, she sang the theme to the James Bond film, Tomorrow Never Dies, and she had a total of 9 Grammys and has appeared on episodes of 30 Rock, Cop Rock, Cougar Town, and One Tree Hill. Didn't she also play guitar for Michael Jackson?
I thought she was she had something to do with Michael. Yeah, I thought she was a backup singer.
Oh, maybe she was a backup singer.
For Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Anyways, she was born on this day in Kennett, Missouri in 1962.
I think she was but that always surprises you because, like, or surprises mm-hmm. me because I don't think of her as a particularly fantastic powerhouse singer. She probably is. Mm-hmm. How was she? What did her parents have to say?
Her parents were very proud of her and they were, like, beaming.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So
I know that she.
She sang backup for Michael Jackson. You're right.
Yeah. She had breast cancer, mm-hmm. and she blamed her breast cancer on plastic water bottles because she used to drive around in an SUV in L.A., mm-hmm. and she always had a case of plastic water bottles. Mm-hmm. So they would get hot from the sun or whatever, and, you know, there wasn't a lot of warnings on that. So she just would drink water out of plastic water bottles, and she really truly believes that it was the BPA that mm-hmm. gave her breast cancer. Well, Alex Jones is a radio show host who New York Magazine described as America's leading conspiracy theorist. Yikes. He hosts the Alex Jones Show from Austin, Texas, which the Genesis Communication Network syndicates across the United States and online. Plus, he runs the website InfoWars.
Yeah, this guy's a douchebag, and I don't just say that. So does Blanche Devereaux.
Blanche Devereaux says it the most.
Yes.
Among the theories he has promoted are his ideas about the 2012 Sandy Hook mass shooting, his accusations against the U.S. government for the Oklahoma City bombing, the September 11th attacks, did anyone see a plane, and falsifying into the Pentagon is something those people love to say, and falsifying details regarding the 1969 moon landing. Mainstream sources have described Jones as a conservative, far-right, and conspiracy theorist, while he describes himself as a paleoconservative and a libertarian. Oh, if only they knew what a libertarian actually meant.
Yes.
The latter claim is disputed by libertarians.
There you go.
He was born on this day in Dallas, Texas in 1974, and he can suck a big old bag of dicks.
Actually, he looks like a bag of shit, and I'm surprised he's born in 74 because he looks much older. I think that's a lie. I think he's like easily 62, 1962.
Well, It's all a lie. So yeah. How are we to know?
It's true. I don't even believe
I don't know why we're celebrating him because he's a piece of garbage.
No, we're not celebrating him, but he is on the list. I think we were a little shy of celebrants on the list, so I guess he made it. But anyways, I don't want to end with him.
Sometimes bad people get born too.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm sure he'll find love in his heart someday.
I doubt it.
But hey, let's not let it cloud the good people that are born on this day. Jennifer Aniston, please. Who can forget her in the what was it
in
called?
Everything actually?
What was the show? What was the movie?
Leprechaun 3.
Yes, the werewolf from Twilight and Burt Reynolds, who of course Blanche Devereaux said was the sexiest.
And
man
you know
alive.
Who was also born today, Amanda, who didn't end up on this list but should have instead of Alex Jones is Thomas Edison. He was born in Ohio in 1847 on February 11th, Amanda, and you know Edison invented a ton of stuff.
Well, yes, he did. I thought he was from Canada, no?
No, Edison, no.
Who's the one who's actually from Canada? Oh, Tom Bell.
Alexander Graham Bell.
Well,
Amanda, you wouldn't have the phone without Alexander Graham Bell.
And we wouldn't have conspiracy theories without that douchebag whose name I already forget.
And you wouldn't have a light bulb without Thomas Edison.
And you wouldn't be able to clean up computer if we didn't have a day dedicated to it, so go do it.
Indeed. All right, Amanda, well, I hope you have a happy and wonderful February 11th.
I will now.